Well, boys and girls, my story tonight is about a boy, and his name is John Ashton, and he lived in London many years ago. And John hated sirens. He really hated sirens. He would pull the blankets and the pillow around him, and he was terrified. And it really started, boys and girls, when he was a little boy. You see, one night he heard the sirens coming, and they were loud, and he was coming, and he pulled the blankets and the pillows around him, and they seemed to be getting louder and louder and louder. And he thought, it's so loud, it's nearly... Boys and girls, it was outside his house, because John's house in London had caught fire and was on fire, and the fire engine was coming to John's house. When the firemen arrived, the flames were leaping up into the dark sky, and they stopped their engine, they put the hoses on, and they came and they knocked down the sledge down the front door to save somebody. But there was flames coming out the hallway, and there was smoke coming out of the hall and out of the windows. And the firemen went round the windows downstairs to see if they could save somebody. And they were looking to see if they could save somebody. But the flames were in all the rooms. It was so bad. And one fireman, he said, try upstairs. We'll look upstairs to see if there's anybody in that room. And that was John's room. And little John was in the bed, and he was calling out, "Mommy, Daddy, Mommy, Daddy." But the pillows around him and the noise of the fire, nobody could hear him. And a fireman climbed the ladder and smashed the window, and smoke came bellowing out. And he wondered, should he go in? You see, boys and girls, it was a very big risk for his life. He could have got burned in the house if he went in. And he didn't know what to do. And he decided to turn. And as he turned away, he heard a little faint voice again, "Mommy, Daddy." And the fireman climbed and put his feet through into the over the windowsill into the took a big gulp of fresh air, and he went into the bedroom upstairs, and he got down on his hands and knees, and his eyes was closed because of all the smoke, and he was crawling along, and he crawled into the set of drawers, and then he knocked the table over, and he thought, this is getting so dangerous, and we go back. And then he heard it again, "Mum, Dad." And the fireman crawled to the noise, it was the bed, and he lifted little John in the blankets, and he took him over to the window. And there the fireman reached through and got fresh air again, and another fireman took little John and carried him down, rescued him. Little John was saved from the fire. But boys and girls, he never seen his mum or dad again, because little John's mum and dad died in the fire. Little John was sent along to an orphanage because there was nobody to care for him. There was nobody to look after him. And he lived in the city of London in an orphanage for people who were at home for little boys and girls who had nobody to look after them. And he absolutely hated it. He hated every minute of it. And age 10, John ran away. Nowadays, boys and girls, if you ran away, the people in the home would be out looking for you, and have the police looking for you, and have helicopters looking for you, and everybody would be looking for you. But in those times, they didn't really bother that much. And John ran away, but he had nowhere to go, so he lived in the streets of London. And he lived there, boys and girls, and he slept in alleyways, and he slept on park benches, and he would beg during the day for food, so we were given food, and he even stole sometimes food from the store. He was never caught, but he knew it was wrong. You see, when John was a little boy, his mum had told him that things like stealing and lying and saying bad words and disobeying and talk back were wrong. And his mum explained to him that God called that sin, and it was wrong, and God had hated sin. And when John remembered those words, he thought, I'm sure God really doesn't care about me. Maybe he even hates me for all the wrong things I've done. But boys and girls, as he lay at night curled up on the bench to try to keep warm, he had nobody to care for him. But he thought, I need to get a job. I need to get a job so that I can get some food. So John went round the stores in London asking for a job, but nobody would give him a job. He was dirty and he was ragged in his clothes. And then he came to this big building, and it was a newspaper printing place, and he came and he thought, this is my last chance. And he came to the door, big heavy doors on, and he pushed them with all his might, and he swung open, and inside he came. And then he thought, I'm sure everybody's looking at me and my ragged clothes. But he took a big deep breath, and he seen a desk, and he came right over to the desk, and he said to the man, I say, mister, Is there any jobs going? Would you give me a job? And the man looked over his glasses away, hey, Lou, and said, what can you do? And he goes, I don't know anything at all, as long as I can get some work to earn some money. And the man said, would you like to sell newspapers for me, deliver the newspapers? Yes, that'll do. When can I start? And the man said, you come back this time tomorrow and you'll deliver newspapers for me. So John was so excited. Here he was at 10 years of age and he had got his first job. He had got his first job. And boys and girls, he was going to earn some money. And he was very, very fortunate because the area he was given to deliver these papers was the rich end, one of the richest ends in London. So John went to those parts in his ragged clothes and he delivered the newspapers to the people. Some people, they all lived in big, beautiful houses, and he had admired it. He would love to have lived in the house they got there. Some people were kind and spoke to him. Others wouldn't even look to him, wouldn't even speak to him, just ignored him. At night, John would curl up in his park bench and he would think, what would be nice to have nice stuff like that? Wouldn't it be nice just to have a bed to sleep in? It'd be nice. And all those people have nice homes and nice food and nice things to look at and they've got money. And he used to think about that and he said it would be lovely to have those things, but he had nothing. And he thought, and when he couldn't sleep at night and it was cold, he used to think, wouldn't it be nice if I got rich and I lived in a big house and I had those nice things? But boys and girls, as he delivered his papers one day, a woman spoke to him. And she asked him, here we are with that little boy. She asked him what his name was, and he told her it was John. And she says, where do you live? And John said, I don't have a house. I don't have a mummy and I don't have a daddy because I died many years ago in a fire. And he turned away from the lady because his eyes filled up and he was beginning to cry and he didn't want to see her crying. So he turned away and away he went delivering the papers. But he was really shocked because the next day when he was delivering the paper back to this lady's house, her husband was a doctor in the area, she was there waiting on him. And she said to him, how would you like to come and live in our house? Boy, he was shocked with the question. How would you like to come and live in our house? You could work for us. You could be one of our servant boys. And he said, no, Mom, I couldn't do that. I'm far too dirty and my clothes is too ragged to come and live in your house. And the lady says, well, I have talked it over with the doctor and we've talked it over and we want you to come and live in our house. She says, God loves you, and the doctor and I love you. Love. John hadn't heard that word for many years. He only heard it when he was a little boy, when his mum and dad had talked about love at him. And God, he hadn't heard about God until he was only small. He knew the lady was really being sincere, and he decided he would go and live with her. And he told the lady that he would come back, but he had to finish his job, and he would come back later that night. Boys and girls, he arrived back at the house and the first thing the doctor's wife showed him in, and she showed him his bedroom, the next thing he got was he got a warm bath. He was able to wash and clean himself, and then the doctor's wife had left him nice new clothes. Oh, was he chuffed. He was really chuffed with this, what he was getting. One of his jobs, as he walked around the house, he just couldn't believe it. Here he was, he's got a nice house and there's beautiful things in it and he was really delighted with it. And one of his jobs was to answer the door. When the people came to see the doctor, and he had a new uniform for it and it had shiny buttons down the front, and John was chuffed with this uniform. He felt like a king as he went to the door, and he would go very straight to the door and he'd welcome the people in, he'd be very polite and he would bring them in and they'd bring him in the room so that they would see the doctor. And he was good at his job. He used to go around and admire the stuff in his house, and he used to talk to the doctor and talk to the doctor's wife. But his favourite time of all was on a Sunday afternoon. And a Sunday afternoon, people from all over London came to the doctor's house for Bible study. They used to come after dinner and would come, and John would meet them at the door, and John would bring them in into the living room. And then he would go and he would get his chair and he would sit near the door so if somebody came, he would go and open the door if the bell rang. And they would discuss things from the Bible. The doctor called the Bible the Word of God. He'd never heard that before, the Word of God. And you see, it is the Word of God. Even though the Bible is written by different people, God directed those people what to write. And it's God's, it's directions, how to work and how to study and how to live your life from the Bible. And John listened eager as they discussed the different subjects. And this afternoon, they were discussing the Lord Jesus Christ, God's Son, and how he would come again from heaven to take the people who were ready to go to heaven. John had never heard that before. He'd never heard. And he was sitting on the edge of his seat listening all about this. And then someone asked, how can we be sure that Jesus is going to come again? And the doctor opened the Bible at John chapter 14 and verse 3. And it says, and if I go, and that's Jesus, and if Jesus go and prepare a place for you, that's in heaven, I will come again and I will receive you unto myself, receive you unto Jesus, that where I am, there you will be also. So Jesus lives in heaven, so he's going to take it and take it to heaven. So this is the first John had heard all about this. Then somebody said, but Jesus said that before he died. He made that promise before he died. Boys and girls, a man spoke, and he said, cross. A man said, yes, that's right, Jesus died, but do you know why he did die? He said, and he started to explain, he said, you know, Adam and Eve was in the Garden of Eden, and everything was perfect, and God gave them one rule, not to eat the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. But Satan came along and told them that it would be all right to eat it, and they done that, they ate the fruit, and they disobeyed God. That is called sin. When you disobey God, it's called sin. So Adam and Eve sinned. Therefore, even though we're here today and 11 different parts of the country and we've got different surnames and there's people all over the world, we've all came from Adam and Eve. And that means that when we were born as a little baby, we're born with sin. We can't pay for that sin. A priest can't forgive your sin. Mr. Dean, our minister, can't forgive your sin. He can show you in the Bible how to get rid of it, but he can't forgive you. We can't forgive it. The children's leaders can't forgive your sin. We can't do that because we were sinners. Good works, doing nice things and helping people is good, but that will not pay for your sins. If you're the richest man in the whole world, you're a billionaire, you can't buy salvation, you can't buy away your sins. You can't do that. But you see, God loved us so much that he sent his only son, Jesus Christ. And Jesus was God's son, therefore he had no sin. And he came to this earth, and we celebrated Christmas when he came little baby. And he came, and now we're coming up to Easter, and we're celebrating when Jesus died. And that was Jesus' purpose to come here, was to die. He died on the cross for our sins, because he was perfect, and he could pay for our sins. And that's what he done. He didn't have to go to the cross. He stopped it, but he loved us so much. Every boy and girl and man and woman here, he loved us so much that he was willing to go to the cross and die for our sins. But he didn't stay dead, because on the third day, Jesus rose again. God raised him from the dead, and he raised him from the dead. And then somebody said, but where's Jesus now then? Where's Jesus now? And the doctor explained, he opened their Bible, and he said, well, after 40 days, Jesus went to heaven. And it tells us in Acts chapter 1, verse 10, 11, and while they looked, that's the disciples, while they looked steadfastly towards heaven as he went up, that's Jesus going up to heaven, two men stood with him in white apparel. That was two angels. Which was also said, ye men of Galilee, that's the disciples, remember they came from Galilee, why stand ye gazing up to heaven? For this same Jesus, who was taken up unto you to heaven, shall come again in like manner as ye have seen him go. So the Bible tells us that Jesus, after the 40 days, went to heaven, but he's going to come back again. Isn't that wonderful? But John thought, that's really, really good, but how do I understand that? But the doctor understood. The doctor went on to say in Thessalonians, in the Bible, he opened it and he read it to them, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven." So Jesus is going to come back from heaven, descend, means he's come back to heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, so there's going to be a loud noise, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we that are alive and remain shall be caught up together to them in the clouds, and to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. So the Lord's going to come back down and take us to heaven. But then the doctor stopped and he asked a question to everybody in the room. He said, "Will you be ready when Jesus comes back? If he come back today," the doctor said, "will you be ready?" John thought, how can I assure that I would be ready? Well, the doctor, somebody asked that question, but before John could ask it, and somebody asked, how can we be sure that we're going to be ready to go back to heaven? And the Bible, the doctor went to the Bible and he started to open the Bible to explain to them how you could be ready when ring, 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 somebody was at the door. John jumped up from the edge of his seat, ran to the door to see who it was and deal with it. He was only there about 2 minutes and he came back. And guess what? The meeting was over. The doctor had explained it. John came back and the meeting was finished. How am I going to be ready? How am I going to understand that? That night, boys and girls, John couldn't sleep because the doctor said Jesus could come back today or tonight and you have to be ready. And John didn't know how to be ready. What if I'm not ready? What will I do? And actually that night, John cried himself to sleep. He said, the next morning, I'm going to see the doctor and I'm going to ask him what it means to be ready. The next morning, they had his breakfast and the doctor called him into his office. He said, John, the doctor spoke to him. He said, John, what do you think living in this house? John said, doctor, it's really, really nice. I love it. I love it. He said, are you happy here? Oh, I'm really happy here. He said, well, how would you like to have this house? How would you like to own this house, have the nice thing and have the money? Oh, I would love that. That was always a dream of mine. Well, the doctor said, John said, well, but how could I do that? And the doctor said, well, John, it's like this here. If Jesus comes back before I die, me or my wife doesn't need this house because we're going to heaven. So you can have our house, you can have all the nice things in our house, and you can have all my money. John didn't know what, and he stuttered because he was waiting to ask him this big question on how to be ready, and this stunned him. He forgot to ask the question, and all he could do was say, thank you, doctor, and he walked out. Boys and girls, it tells us that John walked around the house looking at it, thinking, oh, this is wonderful, having all this money. This is going to be mine. This is what I always dreamed about. I'm maybe going to be rich after all. I'm going to have this house. I'm going to have the money. I'm going to have all the nice things. And all that I've dreamed about, I'm going to have this. And then suddenly they got there. It dawned on them. The big question, I forgot to ask the doctor, how to be ready. And then he realised, what if Jesus comes? I mightn't be ready. And then he realised how foolish he really was. Well, what good was a big house to him? What good was the money to him? What good was all the nice things if Jesus came and he missed out going to heaven? He was terrified. He ran around the house, like we would say, like a banshee. He didn't know what to do. He was squealing. And the doctor seen him. And the doctor said, what's wrong, John? What is wrong with you? And he said, doctor, I don't want your big house. I don't want your money. I don't want anything. He said, well, what do you want? He says, I want to know how to be ready. When Jesus comes, I want to go to heaven to be with Jesus and God in heaven. And I don't know how to do that. Well, the doctor took his Bible and took John into the study and he showed him a verse in the New Testament, one that we know very well, John 3:16. And it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And you see, it says God so loved the world. And that isn't the big world that we see it, but that when he's talking about the world, he's talking about all the people, all you people, all the people in the world. God so loved all the people in the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That's Jesus. He sent him down to Calvary to die for our sins. But all we have to do is believe in him. We should not perish but have everlasting life. We have to believe, we have to trust that Jesus died for our sins. Boys and girls, the doctor explained to John about salvation, how he had to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. John said, but he must have some love, because before I came here, doctor, I stole and I told lies and I said bad language and I'd done bad things and I got into fights. Jesus must love me a lot to die and take away all that punishment that I'd done. But how did we ready? And the doctor went and he opened in John chapter 1 and verse 12, and it says, but as many as receive him, to them give he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe in his name. That's your memory verse, wasn't it? So if you believe that Jesus Christ was God's son, if you believe that you came from Adam and Eve and you've got sin in your heart, if you believe that if you don't trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he's the only one that can pay away for your sins, then you won't go to heaven. But if you want to go to heaven, you have to ask the Lord Jesus. And it's so simple. You just ask, and you can do it at your own bedside. You ask the Lord to take away your sins, and he will take away your sins. And then you're fit for heaven. It's like receiving, John said, or the doctor said to John, John, it's like receiving a gift. You have to take it from me. And I've got a gift here tonight. I brought this gift along. I'm going to ask somebody to receive it. We're going to see. Anthony, would you like to receive a gift? Come on up. There you are. You take it at church. Wasn't that easy? Anthony didn't pay for the gift. He didn't have to do anything for the gift. Only come and receive it. And it's his. And boys and girls and mummies and daddies, that's what salvation's about. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to do works. You don't have to pay anything. You just have to receive it. Jesus done it all on Calvary's cross. He died on the cross to pay for your sins. And all you have to do is receive it. But boys and girls and mummies and daddies, remember what the doctor said. Jesus is coming back. He's coming back soon. And if you're not ready, you will not go to heaven. And if you don't go to heaven, then you're going to be punished for your sins because you rejected Jesus. And the only way you're going to be punished is in hell with the devil. And that's what the Bible tells us. I'm not making this up. It's in the Bible. It explains, if you don't, and if you reject the Lord Jesus Christ and God's gift of salvation, then you get punished, and you get punished forever and ever and ever. So boys and girls and mummies, daddies, we don't know if Jesus is going to come back tonight, but you should be ready for him. And the only way you can be ready for him, by asking him to come into your heart and take away your sins. And I pray, boys and girls, this is the last night of our meeting, but I pray that you shall do that, so that you know that when you die, you're going to go to heaven. You've been very good, and we'll just close our eyes and talk to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we just thank you that your salvation is so free and so easy to receive. Lord, we pray that the boys and girls will understand that, and that the mommies and daddies will understand it, and the grannies and grandads will understand that all they have to do is ask you to come into your heart to take away your sins, and you will do that, and then they can go to heaven too. Lord, we thank you that you've done that for us because you loved us. Lord, we ask you to take care of us now, and we ask you, Lord, that you will look after the boys and girls tonight and the parents. We ask it in thy name, Lord. Amen.